Welcome to the Australian Small Business Show. Join us, your hosts, Matt Hayway and Christy Lee Billett, small business owners just like you, as we bring our first-hand experiences to offer insights, advice and inspiration to help you build a successful small business. Each week we'll discuss one specific strategy, topic, resource or tip that's relevant for every small business, and we'll be inviting along some amazing special guests and friends in business to share their expertise with you. Whether you're starting out, scaling up, or a seasoned small business owner, the Australian Small Business Show is for you. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Australian Small Business Show. Hey, Matt.
Priscilla, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good, good, good. Now, we are playing in your domain today. We're talking about business structures, and I just want to preface this episode by saying we're going to do a very quick overview, a very high-level overview of the four main types of business structures today. This is not a deep dive. This is not the every single pro-con consideration when it comes to business structures, and you should absolutely get advice from your accountant and potentially also a lawyer before making decisions about which business structure is right for you. And certainly if you are considering changing business structures, please get that advice before doing so, because it is a complicated space to play in. But business structure is very much the zone of your accountant, Matt. That's a fair bit of work that you would have done in the past.
In the early stages of my career, I did touch on business structures and work quite closely with new business owners. And as you said, changing structures.
Fantastic. So there's really four main types of business structures. There is a few others in the periphery. So again, this is not a complete and exhaustive list. But really today we're talking about sole traders, partnerships, companies and trusts. So maybe we'll go through one by one, and Matt, you can explain what they are and maybe one pro and con each kind of thing. So let's start with the easy one, sole traders. That's where a lot of people start, right?
Yeah, it's where a lot of people start when they start their business, particularly in the trades. You might hear people saying, I've got an ABN. They're saying they're a sole trader. Mm-hmm. So a sole trader is essentially you. You don't need a separate structure to be a sole trader. All you need to do is go and get an ABN. Mm-hmm. And income and expenses are included in your personal income for your tax return.
So as a sole trader, all the money you make is just money that you make, like an income, like a job, basically, and it's taxed accordingly, obviously.
It's taxed at your marginal tax rates.
Yeah. And so easy option, I guess, is the big benefit of being a sole trader. It's very easy to get started.
Simple to set up, doesn't cost very much. Really, you don't even need an accountant to set yourself up as a sole trader.
Nice. Okay. But downsides, is there any one little highlight downside you could give us?
Well, if you're depending on the business that you run, you're putting your personal assets at risk. So if you do something naughty mm-hmm. and get sued, then you can lose your family home if you're a sole trader.
Pretty risky. I don't like that risk. So sole trader, easy, but not without its risks, and will only work to a certain level, I guess, ultimately. What about partnerships? What's a partnership?
Well, a partnership in Australia is two or more people running a business together. Now, probably put a caveat on that. Two companies can be in a partnership. So that's probably a little bit more complex than we're doing right now, but we're generally as two or more individuals. Mm-hmm. In Australia, you can have up to 20. So most partnerships you see are probably three or four people at the most, and that's generally the accounting. There's lots of industries that do these accounting. Doctors do a lot of partnerships as well.
Okay, right. And yeah, partnerships, you can think about partners in a firm kind of situation. That makes sense. Up to 20 sounds crazy to me. I wouldn't want 20 partners in a business. No, thank you. But partners are, unless you've got two companies in partnership, the partnership in the sense we're talking about it is like two individuals.
That's right. So the income and expenses, so a partnership will have to get its own, little bit different than a sole trader. A partnership will have to go and get its own tax file number. Mm-hmm. An accountant will need to prepare a set of financials and do a tax return for the partnership. And now the way the income works and expenses is the income goes into the partnership, all the expenses are paid by the partnership, and the profit is distributed to the partners. So depending on the partnership agreement you have and if you're going to set up a partnership, it's worthwhile going to a lawyer mm-hmm. and getting a partnership agreement drawn up. You might find a partnership might be 50-50, or it could be 80-20, it could be 75-25, whatever you decide. And that's how the income is distributed to the individuals, who then include that income on their personal tax return.
Okay, got it. So next level of complexity compared to a sole trader, in that there's more people involved, but similar in some ways.
Well, it's similar in respect that if you do something in audio and you get sued, your house isn't protected. And there's also an extra layer to that too, which is called joint and several liability, which means that if, for example, if you and I are in a partnership and the partnership has liabilities that the mm-hmm. partners need to pay and you can't pay them, I need to pay your part of it as well.
All right. So Joe and Jane are in a partnership. Joe racks up a massive debt, can't pay the debt. Jane is therefore responsible for the debt.
Exactly. So there's high risk in terms of running a partnership and choosing your partners wisely.
Sounds like dangerous territory to be partnerships. I'm not sure that would be my preferred structure. What about companies? Is that like the most common structure that we have here?
Well, companies are the most common for a number of reasons. Well, I'll start with what a company is. A company is a separate legal entity.
Mm-hmm.
Different to a sole trader in a partnership, where essentially is you.
Mm-hmm.
A company as a separate legal entity, it means it can be sued and be sued. So it actually has the same does it's the same as an individual in that respect. So it's got its own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that the problem with asset protection goes away. So your individual's role in a company is you act as a shareholder. And you act as a director. Not necessarily that's the way it always is, but for say a family company, you generally be the same people that are directors are the same people as shareholders. So
mm-hmm.
the director is responsible for running the company and the shareholders own the company. So whilst it's usually the same person for a smaller business, as the businesses get larger, that's not necessarily the case.
And so that's good. You've got asset protection because it is that separate entity, but not complete protection, right? Like if you don't pay your employees, you don't pay your super, the tax office can still come after your family.
That's
home,
right. So there's certain circumstances where you don't have that asset protection, and that's with PAYG, withholding and super. So if you don't pay those, they actually will come after you as director of the company rather than the shareholder.
So you have a responsibility as that director role in the company still, but it is more protected than a partnership or a sole trader kind of setup.
That's right. So, and there's benefits from a tax perspective too.
Mm.
As a sole trader in a partnership, the individual pays the tax at its marginal rates for the money that comes out of those entities. Whereas in a company, there's a tax rate of, there's a flat tax rate that the company pays tax on.
Yep. Right. And as a company as well, what we should flag is that, there is more involved, therefore there's more cost in running it. Like an accountant's got to set up the chart of accounts and do all the work that goes on every year with running an entity. So there is more cost involved.
Well, there's cost involved at the start because you've got to set up the structure itself. An accountant will charge you probably somewhere around $2,000 to do that.
Yep.
It's been a while, actually, so that's probably
that's a guess,
right.
Let's be honest.
But there's a cost to set up. Then they've got to maintain, the financials and the tax return. They manage that. You've also got to keep the company registered with ASIC, which means you've got to do an annual review each year.
Yep.
So there's more cost to doing it. But on the other side of things, it gives you more option in respect to, minimizing taxation, as I said, protecting assets. So in a company, you also can be the employee. So there's a number of different ways you can get the money out of the company to ensure that you're minimizing your taxation.
Cool. So that's company. And what about trust? Now, there's a couple of different types of trust. Trust can be a little bit more complex, so we'll keep it high level. What is a trust?
Well, a trust is an entity that it's a structure where the trustee owns the assets
mm-hmm.
of on behalf of the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have generally in a normal circumstance is you'll have a trustee company mm-hmm. acting as trustee for a trust. Now, mm-hmm. the rules of the trust are actually, it's a little bit different than just relying on general law.
Mm.
When you've got a trust, you've got to get a trust deed established, which basically sets the rules of the trust. That's where you can either win or lose with a trust, because if you get a dodgy trust set up, it's going to cause you complications in the future. You want to spend your money with a lawyer at the start to get a good trust deed set up, so you can ensure that your wishes and your anticipated outcomes of that trust is what actually can happen.
So trusts are more complicated, and again, there's another layer of complication there because you do need a lawyer involved, not just an accountant. You need both with a trust. And trusts are definitely something you want your accountant's advice on, because they're not going to be right for everyone, but for a lot of people, they're very beneficial structures, and your accountant will advise on if that's right for you and which type to set up and how to set up. But again, it gives you more flexibility in terms of what's happening with the income that runs through that trust structure and how that can be distributed. And there's more flexibility, particularly in bigger families, I think, as well.
That's right. So there's different, there's two different types of trusts that are most common. One's a unit trust and one's a discretionary trust. A unit trust, the income is distributed based on the units that you hold in there. Think shareholding. Think, you know, if you buy a parcel of Telstra shares, you get your dividend based on how many shares you own. In a unit trust, it's the same as how many units you hold in that trust. That's how much income you get. In a discretionary trust, it's at the discretion of the trustees where the income goes. So you've got your accountant has some room to move in respect to where that money goes.
Yep.
It can go to your kids. It can, you know, you can, your wife could be earning this much this year. You could be earning that much next year. A lot of trust structures are set up where there's a company can be a beneficiary as well. Mm-hmm. So you can distribute to other structures. So there's a lot more room for the accountant to play in a trust.
Yeah, got it. So I think what we will do is get an accountant on to really unpack that trust structure because it is detailed and we can't get into it all today. But ultimately, aside from a couple of other different peripheral options, we've got four options in terms of the structures of our businesses, whether they're going to be a sole trader, in a partnership, owning a company, or having a trust structure. And what's right for you is going to depend on what you want in your business, what your future plans for your business are, what your personal goals are. There's lots of different elements that come into what is the right structure for you, possibly where you're at in your business journey as well. But just being aware that there are different structures and possibly different options for you and talking to your accountant about what's the best structure for you and getting the right advice is really important. And if someone's not sure, their accountant is the best place to start talking to someone, Matt?
Absolutely. Your accountant's the best place to go. And this is where they should be earning their dollars too. So you want to find yourself a really good accountant that has a good knowledge of structure, because as your business grows and goes through its life cycle, it's going to need a different structure. So so you want to get an accountant that's going to be proactively reminding that.
And advising you.
Rather than waiting for you to contact them and working it out for yourself.
Yeah, and this is where getting the right accountant is really important, because the accountant that was doing your personal income tax return before you started a business may not be the right accountant for you in a business. So getting that right person around you. Awesome. Well, that was a really good overview, Matt. So we will come back to this topic in future episodes and do a deep dive into particularly probably partnerships, companies and trusts, and we'll get an accountant on to really unpack that for us. But thanks for the overview.
Thanks, Christy.